We say this line each and every Sunday. We pray this phrase each and every week. Lead us not into temptation, O God, but deliver us from evil. I don't know about you, but I recognize that temptation is all around us. Anyone else? We're tempted to buy or have more. We're tempted to do things based on convenience rather than maybe what's the most cost-effective. Our grocery stores are set up in such a way that convenience is literally right at our fingertips. We're tempted by all that candy that sits right at the checkout line, right? Anyone else have small children who stand in those long checkout lines and they see the Kinder eggs that are right down here? They say, Mommy, 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 I want a Kinder egg, right? And you got to shell out $1.59 just to make them happy. Anyone else tempted by those sorts of things? All right. Sometimes we are tempted to second guess our relationships. Because when we look on social media or wherever it is, we see that maybe other people have a happier marriage than we do. Or a better family unit. Or, oh, don't they look like they're just smiling all the time? It never looks like they argue, but me and my spouse, we're arguing all the time, right? Something must be wrong, so you're tempted to either fix it or to run from it. Right? What do they say the percentage of divorce is in our country? Because we're so tempted by what's out there. Not to say that there's not unhealthy marriages that we need to leave, but often it's the result of temptation. When we're tempted, we have choice to make. We can cave to the temptation. We can spend where we don't need to. We can lust after another. We can buy the things that are convenient. Or we can discern and do God's will. Today's gospel lesson is one that many of us know in one form or another. It's the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And this is a series of kind of three events that build on one another. The first is the story of Jesus' baptism. The second is this temptation in the wilderness. And then lastly, before he begins his public ministry, Jesus commits and is filled with the Spirit to this life of mission and ministry. Now, so many of us have grown up in the church and we know exactly who Jesus is. We've been reading and witnessing his mission and ministry throughout our whole lives as we dive into the Gospels. And so it may be tempting for us to set this portion of his life aside. But before Jesus ever begins public ministry, he is called and baptized. He spends time in the wilderness and is tempted. And then he affirms his call of who he is, the person that he is, the divine Son of God. And so these three parts, these real human experiences in Jesus' ministry are important to where we're going to go over these next 40 days, right? Because Jesus needs to be sure of himself, of who he is, if he's ever going to accomplish what he accomplishes on the cross. He needs to experience these temptations now, before he gets to the temptation of wanting to run from sure and certain death. Jesus' story of personhood in these moments are ones that we too can latch on to. Because all of us, I hope, have experienced moments of call. We believe as United Methodists that God's grace is working on our hearts, even when we don't recognize it. Call that prevenient grace. God is talking to each and every one of us. God is calling each and every one of us. This is the story of a human experience. but it's also the story of human experience that we will experience moments of wilderness, that we will have moments of temptation, that we will feel alone or abandoned, that we will desire what the world desires and not what God desires for us. In our text for today, we're going to read about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. The scripture will also be on the screen. It is in our tradition that we stand for our gospel reading, so I would invite you to stand as we read the first 13 verses of Luke's fourth chapter. Luke says this, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will just worship me, all will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put your Lord, your God, to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until the opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. If you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find this story in three of the four, in the synoptics, as we call them. John does not mention this, the temptation of Jesus, and Mark mentions it only briefly. He kind of just says, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. He was there for 40 days. Satan tempted him. Wild beasts kept him company, and the angels waited on him. That's it. That's all Mark gives us about the temptation of Jesus. If you read Matthew, we get a longer narrative, much like we do here in Luke. But these temptations that we read about, there are three that we're going to explore here in just a moment. But these temptations aren't just things that are desirable but aren't good for Jesus, kind of like an extra piece of cake, right? We're often tempted by the extra desserts. Anyone? I know I am. Those are things that aren't good for us, but they are desirable. That's not really what Jesus is being tempted by here. Rather, these are tests to see where even good things can lure Jesus from the focus on God's will. Matthew and Luke both share these three specific tests. They're just kind of in a different order if you read Matthew versus Luke. But they offer this kind of hook, and they challenge Jesus by saying, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. And so part of what the devil is tempting here is for Jesus to say yes, that he really believes who God has called him to be. God has just spoke to him out of that great cloud at his baptism, right? And says, "This is my Son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And right after that, it says the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness. And the first thing after he fasts for those 40 days, and he's hungry and he's tired, he has to remember that moment, right? And the devil says to him, "Well, if you're the Son of God, Do you believe what was spoken to you at your baptism? And so on and on the devil goes. He tempts Jesus in three ways, as we read. The first is to turn stone into bread. And the devil here isn't challenging him to necessarily do a bad thing, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with turning stones into bread. I don't know. That's not really a commandment I read in the Old Testament. It's like, thou shalt not turn stones into bread, right? Like, there's nothing inherently wrong here. And Jesus would be hungry after this long fast. And this is a temptation that others have historically. This is what emperors would have done. If we read Luke 1, there's some emperors named. That such a claim would grant them authority to have access to whatever resources they need. So the devil's saying, you take this authority and do what you need to survive. But Jesus kind of balks and says, no. Scripture tells me, God tells me, that we can't live by bread alone, but only from God. The second temptation, the devil says, hey, I'm going to show you all these great kingdoms, and I will give you power over them. All this power, this glory, this authority, only if he worships the devil, right? And so Jesus kind of quotes some scripture back at him, and he says, you know, only the Lord your God is supposed to be worshiped. So knowing that Jesus has used this scripture, this Old Testament text, to kind of rebuke the devil, the devil, in his cunning, sly way, quotes the Psalms. And he says to him, well, if you would, he takes him to Jerusalem and he takes him up on top of this temple and he says, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. So just throw yourself down from here because God will come after you. God will protect you. And Jesus says, no. You're not supposed to put God to the test. As Christians, we're not supposed to use Scripture as kind of a game of gotcha or to serve our own self-interest. But that's exactly what the devil is trying to tempt Jesus to do. And I think many of these temptations or things that we also have, where we are tested to use whatever power we have to get what we want, to serve ourselves, even if it might hurt others. We are tempted to have power and authority, even if it means turning away from God. We are tempted to use Scripture to benefit ourselves, to try to maybe trick others, rather than glorifying God. But I think for most of us, we're probably not going to get the Son of God test when we are tempted. We're probably not going to be thrown out into the wilderness for 40 days where we have no food, and then the devil's going to appear in front of us and tell us to do all of these things and offer us kingdom and power, right? We're probably going to get just a regular old Adam and Eve kind of test, right? Where shiny fruit will make us turn, or maybe an all-you-can-eat buffet, or a pleasant tax return, right? Those are the kind of things that are going to tempt us. But I think what's important here to remember is where this temptation took place. It took place in the wilderness. Now, most of us have not spent 40 days out in the desert. I would assume. Anyone done that? I thought you were raising your hand back there. Bill was like, yes, I have. 40 days without food or water, right? Like, we'd all be dead. I would be, right? I wouldn't last 12 hours. But there's a wilderness-like place that we've all been in. Maybe it's a hospital waiting room. Maybe it's the parking lot where you can't find your car because you just lost your job. Maybe it's your couch waiting for someone to come home who you know won't. We have these wilderness-like places where we feel isolated, where we feel alone, where we are hungry for something we just can't have, whether it's presence or peace or food, whatever it might be, we feel alone. Wilderness can come in different shapes and sizes, but it feels like we have no power, no place, no special protection, just a Bible in our hand, and a quoting devil and a bunch of sand. But Luke assures us of something extremely important, and it happens in the first line of this and the line after what we just read. When Jesus goes out into the desert, it says this, Jesus, who was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus did not go into this place alone, even if he might have felt that way. It said he was full of the Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit. Now, each and every week when we pray that Lord's Prayer, we say what? Lead us not into temptation. But yet here in Luke, we're told that that's exactly what the Spirit did to Jesus, right? Now, I'm not really sure that I believe that, like, God takes our hands and leads us into terrible places, right? Like, that does not align with my theology. But I do believe that God's hand is right there beside us when we go. And after all this is done, the last line that we get, right after it says, the devil departs from him, it says, then Jesus was filled again by the power of the Spirit, and he returned to Galilee, and he began to teach and was praised by everyone. He started filled by the Spirit, and he ended filled by the Spirit. In our wilderness places, it is often a temptation to try to fill the wilderness space with things that aren't good for us, rather than sitting in those empty spaces filled by the Spirit. Lent is often a time, it comes from the English word meaning spring. It's a time where, like spring, things start to grow and bloom, right? Anyone else spring their favorite time of year? Love spring, right? But it's kind of a greening of our human soul, where we're pruned with repentance, fertilized with fasting, mulched with prayer. Lent is not a time, although it often has been used this way, it's not a time to punish ourselves for being human. But rather, it's a time for us to recognize that even in those wilderness places, even in the mundane and ordinary, we are filled with the presence of the Spirit. That our ordinary lives are still holy lives. And that, in fact, when we want and we strive for more, we are good enough. And we can continue to grow by the grace of God. A popular notion during this Lenten season is that we give up something, right? Anyone given up something for Lent before? Some of us, okay? Anyone giving up anything this Lenten season, just out of curiosity? Okay, some of us. We're often asked, you know, what are you giving up, right? And a lot of people, they say, well, I'm giving up red meat, or I'm giving up sweets, or I'm turning off social media, right? Or I'm going to give up watching television, or whatever it is. And I think these are good, important practices because it teaches us to kind of give something up and fill up that space and that time and that hunger with God, right? When we're tempted to reach for those chocolate bars, instead we can turn to God, right? And I think this is an important practice for us. But one of the things that I would like for us to do is also to really reflect more deeply on the implication for this Lenten season. There's some scholars that quote this. There's a whole, they all quote it in their book. There's like six of them, so I'm not going to read all of their names, but this is not my quote. They say, Lent is thus not just a time of giving something up, but rather taking upon ourselves the intention and the receptiveness to God's grace so that we might worthily participate in the mystery of Emmanuel, of God with us. Intentionality and receptivity of God's grace. And so I would ask us that even if we're giving up chocolate or Facebook or meats or whatever it might be this Lenten season, are we also being intentional about what we're doing, about recognizing being full of the Spirit even in the midst of wilderness places? And are we receptive to the grace that God is offering us this day and every day? Are we intentional and are we receptive? Are we welcoming God's presence so that we can continue to grow in faith and love? I want to close out our time together. Our series, Good Enough, is based on this book. It is a 40-ish day devotional guide for the Lenten season. If you would like a copy, I'm happy to help you order one. You can start whenever, right? It's okay if you don't have this now and you didn't start on Ash Wednesday. You're good enough no matter where you are, right? If you start at day one or day 10, it's okay. But Kate Bowler, she's one of the authors of this book, and she writes several blessings. And so I want to close today with one of the blessings from her text. She says this, "Blessed are you who realize that there is simply not enough time or money or resources. Blessed are you who are tired of pretending that raw effort is the secret to perfection. It's not. You know that. Blessed are you who need a gentle reminder that even now, even today, God is here with you, and somehow that is good enough." Let us pray. Oh God, I give you thanks for this time to be in worship together, to experience the fullness of your grace, oh God. We know that sometimes we are in wilderness moments. Grief or pain or loss, uncertainty, moments where we feel tempted, God, and it is easy to take on the quick fixes of the world, to put something on a credit card, or to jump on to the next and new thing. But God, remind us that sometimes it's okay to sit in these wilderness moments and fully rely on your presence. God, over these next 40 days, continue to be with us, to guide us, to allow us to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with your love and your grace. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.